Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, afternoon, evening, depending on your time zone. Welcome, everybody, to Night Light. Welcome, light workers, light body energies, seekers of the light, watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers and querents, journeymen and journeyers, seekers, star children and philosophers, and all those who are seeking reason and magic in these times of awakening, evolution, transformation, and change. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Jeannie, we invite you to come in out of the mainstream and gather around our nightlight in the darkness and confusion of the times. This show represents a sort of pit stop on your cosmic journeys. So sit back, share your light with other light-minded people, gather for a time and be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change. This is our own very small oasis in the turmoil that we call creation. Share with me your light, and I'll share mine with you, and with any luck, we can generate enough light to not only light our ways, but provide light enough for others who are seeking as well. These journeys that we're on began a very, very long time ago and will continue long after this lifetime has faded into memory. So gathering together as we do every week generates energy that can and is drawn on by countless others. Coming together and blending our lights creates energy that serves not only ourselves, but humanity as well. If you want to learn more about me, I invite you to visit my website, barbaradelong.com. There's a ton of information there, as well as links to all of my other enterprises out there. And I think most specifically, I would direct you towards the What's New page, which has totally been changed. And there's also a link to the videos and documentaries that I have done and been in taken part in, and it's a great page because I love it because all of them are linked there, so you can see all of the things that I've worked on with Patrick and the things that we've done, and they're all up there so that you can take a look at them, especially the South African video that we were so thrilled to be a part of and didn't show in this country. So this is your chance of catching up on what South Africa put on the air. There's also links to my books and things like that. So if you check out the website, it's a great website. I love it. On Friday nights, Jeannie and I are going to be doing Matrix Radio, and that's going to be just a discussion program. We haven't got everything lined up yet, so we don't know when we're going to start that, putting that back up on the air. But it will shortly be back up on the air, and it's just going to be for interview on paranormal and spiritual aspects of life. And I'm going to have some fascinating people that will join me. One of them is Lynn Butts, who wrote Numerology for the New Age and is a fascinating, fascinating man. Hopefully Lynn Katai will be back on and we can talk about the Phoenix Lights. And it's going to be a show that we sort of put wonderful information out there and give you a chance to sort of expand your own consciousness and you know, whatever else it is you're looking for. Hopefully, if you have any suggestions, feel free to mail them to me, and that address is barbaradelong@gmail.com. Also, I think that there are links to the other show that I do, which I'm also extremely, extremely honored to be a part of, and that's Almost Heaven with Lizzie Starr and Hazel. I do the first Tuesday and the last Thursday of the month with them, and it's always an adventure and you know, really a very exciting time to work with two such lovely people. They are amazing and very, very spiritual, and there's wonderful insight that comes out of even just listening to the readings. So I encourage you to take part and visit and come and join us on those shows too. If you're interested in getting a reading, the call-in number is, I think it is, yeah, Blog Talk changed everything, so I'm just having to check and make sure that the numbers are still right. The call-in number here is 347-857-2139. If you're interested in getting a reading, I encourage you to call sooner rather than later because the line does get very, very long towards the end of the show. Let me see. Jeannie is in the chat room today. She is definitely bringing all of her skills and talents to bear here, and she is doing all of the scanning of screening of the people that have called in, and so she'll get to you before I do. So if you hear a lovely southern voice come at you, that's Jeannie, and she's just going to ask for your name and where you're coming from and sort of a general idea as to what it is you're looking for today. So without further ado, we're going to jump in with a very good friend who is with us today. Audrey, hi, are you there?
Oh, hi, Barbara. Yes, Happy New Year to you already.
To you too, yes.
Pre-Valentine's.
Yeah.
Well, I am hoping to make this a great year myself, and I always love to check in with you for career changes and new beginnings that I've been focused on toward with my energy. So I was hoping you could tell me what you see for career move and changes for February, March, April time frame.
Well, I'll happily do that, but I think you also have some news, too, about what you're doing that you might want to share with everybody. I understand you're doing a Blog Talk show.
Yes, I start my first show on Saturday, and it's My Beauty Angel is the name of the show, which is also my website, My Beauty Angel. So
uh-huh.
I named it after. And basically, it's about teaching people to polish up on their beauty, physical form. You know, in the physical, of course, we know that true beauty is much deeper than the physical, but we all like to look nice and take care of ourselves, regardless of our budget and that type of thing. And I have some tips and tricks that I'm going to love to share and help all these folks that want to call in shine like the diamond that they are. That's my goal, is to help everyone beautify, you know, inside and out, both.
And what time is it on?
It is on Saturday, 2 p.m. Central Time.
Okay, so that would be 3 o'clock Eastern, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that, you know, we should definitely make sure that we get that out there so people can, you certainly do have the crowns to prove that you are a beauty queen. So, you know, that any advice you can give is probably going to be greatly appreciated by all of us.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you, Barb. I appreciate it. Yeah, I don't do readings. I'm not gifted like you and Reverend B in that area. I just, and Mary Peeler, I'm focused on transferring all the accumulation of beauty tricks and tips that I've learned over the years to share them, you know.
Well, you know, reading is, I think all of us are intuitive and are sensitive, and I think we use it in different ways. And certainly helping somebody to become the flower that they are within is a very big gift as well.
Oh, thank you. It'll be fun, you know, and that's the thing, it's joy, and it'll be joyful for me to do, and it's kind of overdue. I think I wanted to do this a year or two ago, but just the timing didn't seem right. Now I feel like it's just time, you know,
to
have fun with it, you know.
Well, I think that's the most important thing, and if you're having fun, somebody said that if your work is always something that you have, that you are joyful about, then you'll never actually, when your work is joyful, you'll never really, really work a day in your life. And
I love that saying.
Yeah, it's not original, trust me, but it I do absolutely, you know, concur and go along with it. But as far as you're concerned, it does feel, you know, January is done. February, March, and April. It does. Are you talking career specifically, or?
I'll tell you just point blank, like I told Jeannie, I'm in the audition process right now. They've received a video on me for the Home Shopping Network to be one of the TV hosts, you know, one of the gals that sells the different products and talks about them, you know, and talks about all the products. And that would be something I would love to do as well, because I'm very adaptable, you know, to all the different products. And I submitted a video, and the casting director, her name is Barbara, too, by the way, the casting director.
Cool.
And me and my Barbaras, I just love my Barbaras. My connection to Barbaras. And she is submitting my video. I'm not sure if it's this week or next week, but I believe the next step would be to fly to Florida and have an on-camera interview. That would be the serious step if they choose to do that with me. You know, and I'm not sure how many ladies they're hiring. I'm sure it's not just one, you know, because that's an all-night deal, that station.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But I've got that in the works, and there's a couple documented series that are not drama, because I wouldn't associate, I wouldn't even audition for something like that, you know. You know the kind,
yeah,
I'm talking about, without being judgmental.
I do.
Yeah, I would not, no way, Jose, would I do that, you know. So I'm going to stay away from those. But there are two that are not like that, that are more the beauty, the fashion. One is like a business docuseries, kind of like Apprentice, but more like in a fashion business.
Okay.
So there's two docuseries and then the hosting gig.
I like the hosting. I like the hosting. I think you'd be really good at that.
Oh,
and
great.
And I get a much better feeling for that than I do the other ones. But I can tell you that by the March time frame, you have a new foundation for a new direction, and it does feel as though it's a very solid foundation. If you got any of the dramatic type things, that would be short term, and I'm seeing you finding something that is long term and secure. So again, the hosting is what comes up here, and it feels, you know, I feel really strongly that's a direction that you might want to focus on, because I think you'd be great at it. And
I hope they think like you. I submitted a video about hairspray, and it was so funny. I was pulling, you know, I had my hair. Oh, and I did cut quite a few inches off my hair. I don't know if I've sent you anything on it. Jeannie probably saw it, but and it's just at the shoulders now, so there's more volume, and it's fuller, and it's more sophisticated looking. I think it suits me better. You know, when we were talking about the image.
Yeah.
One of our talks, so I did listen to you. I did do it, and I love it like this, and it is very classy and sophisticated, like the ladies that they have on the show, because they're like that, you know. And so it's really up to them if they want to, you know. I'd be jumping for joy, just delighted. And of course I'd have to move to Florida, but that's fine with me because I've been wanting to move somewhere else anyways.
Okay, well, and if/when you get called for the on-camera interview, wear your hair up.
Oh, wear it up, off my face, like halfway up or something?
All the way up, French twist, whatever, wear it up.
Oh, you mean French twist, like formal, like evening gown look, like back up, off my face.
If you wear it up, there is a greater sense of sophistication, and your face shows.
Yeah,
if the hair, and you want to project an image of clean sophistication, and if it's just hanging loosely or dangling, it's not as good. I just feel that the cleaner you get your hair to look, and I'm not saying your hair is dirty, but the more you get it up off of your face. You look more professional.
Right.
That's for then. It does feel here as though there is a major change coming. It feels like pieces are falling into place, and that probably by the May time frame that there is a strong possibility of a move here connected to work. So I think that you've got something coming here.
Wow. That is exciting. Yeah, I'm really focused on it, and one of the reasons I want to have the show too is to be in practice and be in that joyful, fun talking about beauty products and beauty tips and tricks for others to, you know, sharing it with everybody, because that's really what these ladies are doing anyways on the show.
Oh yeah, absolutely,
you know?
But again, I'm going to come back to it because I think it's that important. If your hair is up off your face, your cheekbones are what show. And that's an amazingly wonderful strength of for you. And it focuses people more on your face than on hair that's flinging around. And, you know, there's a certain age range where you can wear the loose hair and it's really, you know, it's cute. But you and I are both well beyond cute.
Right. No, I get what you're saying because I do have high cheekbones too, and it does show off my face more. You know, maybe I'm insecure. Maybe there's something, there's a fear. Maybe I feel like I'm not pretty this way. Maybe that's what I'm hiding about this, Barbara. Maybe that's why I'm resisting it.
Yeah, no, I think you may have hit on a couple things you want to look into, but the reality is I think that, personally, I do think you're much, much more regal looking with it, you know, swept back and off of your face and your neck.
Okay.
And you know, you're not auditioning for a beauty queen anything. You're auditioning for a sophisticated woman who can talk.
Right. No, that's true.
You know, you're not going in as a beautiful bimbo. You're going in as someone with a brain.
Right.
And you want them to understand that.
Exactly, and also, you know, there's that blonde thing too that we get stereotyped, you know, the Farrah Fawcett blonde.
Oh yeah,
thing,
yeah.
You know?
So I think from what I can see, you know, you really are going to get a chance to audition for this, and when you do, make sure they're seeing you as someone who has a brain in their head and can talk and you know, fill time and not just giggle and look pretty. Because giggle and look pretty is easy.
That's
true.
No, agree. And they're very sophisticated and fast, quick-witty women there.
Absolutely, and that's what you want to project. And, you know, so you're moving from one venue to another, but, you know, you want to make sure that they understand that you do have the brains to do this and you are educated enough so that you can, you know, talk and keep the conversation rolling and all of the things that you're going to have to do. And I think the Blog Talk Show is a very good way of starting out and putting that into practice because, you know, you can't have dead air when you're on the air because there's nothing to look at. So you've got to keep the flow of conversation going. And I think you'll be very, very, very good at that.
Oh, thank you, Barb. I really appreciate it. I know you. I think a couple years ago you saw me doing something like this.
I'm pretty sure I did.
I believe you did. You saw me doing a hosting. Because I'll never forget that reading because I was so inspired by it. And I thought, well, when is this day going to come? And it's only been 569 auditions later.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, it's hard to do the time frame, but, you know, you do get the other parts right, and that's the important thing. But I will try very hard to tune in to your show this Saturday if I can. And I know Jeannie will try too.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, I'm sure you will do just fine. Are you doing? How long a show are you doing?
Well, I'll have it set for an hour. But if I want to leave early, then if I feel like I'm leaving early without cutting anybody off, or if there's nobody that wants to call in, you know, it's my first show, so not too many people are going to know yet. But if I don't want to cut anybody off, if they want to ask questions and call in for help with anything or advice, you know, whether it be skincare, makeup, fashion, spring colors,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever it might be. I mean, I'm happy to answer questions, but I may have to leave early if, like you said, if there becomes a point where there's no dead space. But I have started a file folder, you know, on my own computer, you know, just for the show dedicated to all these numerous different types of topics to be, so it's kind of unlimited about what I could, you know what I mean? I can really never run out of things.
Well, can I give you a suggestion?
Yes, please.
When I started doing the show, I listened around at the other people who were doing similar shows, and I was listening into one show, and the woman said, and she was doing readings, and she said, well, no one's called in and no one's asked a question from the chat room, so I'm just going to figure that nobody needs to hear anything from me today, and she signed off. And when that happened, I thought, oh, crap, I never want to do that. If I say I'm going to be there an hour, I'm going to be there an hour, even if I'm talking to myself and Jeannie. And when we started, I solicited from friends. I had, I think, 100 questions on spirituality. And I just, you know, if there was nobody there, I just started answering those questions. But I filled the hour. If you say you're going to be there, be there. And,
right.
You know, whether you're talking to yourself or whatever, but be actually there so that if somebody tunes in late, you're there. You know, it's also a matter of professionalism. If you say you're going to be someplace for an hour's time, then be there for an hour's time. And it's only my personal opinion, but there have been times when there was, you know, I've never had dead air, but I have been the only one there. So just, you know, take it from there and, you know, if it works for you, fine. And if it doesn't, but I'm sure you'll be fine. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people asking questions.
Oh, thank you, Barbara. I think I'll just be happy. I'll be real happy about it. And like you said, I'll just start, even if there wasn't anybody. But that's a good point, because you know why? I have called into shows and waited where there's no host that showed up and there was no notification. You know, and you know, things happen. There's emergencies and people become ill and, you know, life happens and then that happens. But I know what you're saying. Or they'll call in later, reschedule, that type of thing. But then it's kind of a disappointment. But even so, you know, you do your best to just have compassion and understand something must have happened, but you want to be there for sure. No, I would definitely. I'll just tune into some, you know, find some things, some other things to talk about. There's so many different things to talk about, you know.
Oh gosh, yeah.
But I'm not going to be, you know, doing, like I said, I'm not referring to astrology, numerology. I mean, I consider myself a metaphysical beauty host, and that's fine because that's what I am as a, you know, a spiritual being here in this life. But I don't want it to come across as shallow that I'm helping people with their physical. But, you know, we can all of us, you know, we try to look and feel nice on the outside too, you know.
That's right, exactly. I'm sure you'll do fine, Audrey, and I will certainly give it a shot to get there and be supportive.
Okay, thank you, Barbara, for everything.
Take care now.
Love you, bye-bye.
Love you too, bye-bye. I'm noticing that people in the chat room are having a tad trouble with the new look to BTR, and Ginny and I did too. So I am grateful for all of you that actually made it in today. Both Ginny and I had trouble getting in, and I had trouble getting in yesterday when I did Lizzie and Hazel's show. So I'm sure they're trying to streamline it, but holy mackerel, it's tough. So I'm surprised that those of you that are there made it in. Okay, we're going to move ahead here. Lise, is it Lise in Canada? Hi.
Yes, how are you?
I'm wonderful today, thank you. How are you doing?
Fine. A bit cold, but it's warming up eventually.
Well, you're a lot colder than we are, but...
Yeah, well, the thing is that we have sometimes, like, early this week, we had three seasons in one day, so it's, you never know where you're going right now. Anyway, my daughter is out of work right now, the youngest one. She had finished her contract for the government, and she was hoping to work in a hostel. The only thing is that the hospital where she has applied lately, they are laying off, I think, 120 people this week or next week. Does she have still any chance there, or if she should? I know she's applying everywhere she could. She's somebody that is that knows what she wants. She has worked, after she left her job, she worked for one of my husband's contractor. She was there for 3 hours, and she just said, this is not for me. Even if she didn't have a job, she left, which I find is very good that she can do that.
Oh, absolutely. It feels as though she does belong in the healing profession. I'm seeing her getting something that is a good fit for her. She needs something where she can grow. She needs something where she can learn. And she's just not the kind of person that'll just do any job. I'm seeing her getting something by the April timeframe.
Okay. And I wanted her to go to school this winter because she had nothing. And she said, oh, I have to be available if somebody is calling me. But I think my intuition was good, too. She could have finished by that time.
Yeah,
so
no, your intuition was... Your intuition was great, but I suspect she really just wanted the time off.
It could be because she, you know, a lot have happened in the last 2 and 3 years, and she's been, you know, very busy and running around, and she has become handicapped, so she had to go to re-education to learn to walk again and, you know, everything. So I just thought that she was always going a bit too fast. So that may be, it might be a good thing. And she still has a part-time job where she makes good money. So that's good then.
Yeah, it does feel as though April time frame is when she'll get something that's in her field that will be interesting enough to hold her and challenging enough so that she'll stay there long enough to have a good resume.
Good. And if you have a minute, my son is mentally handicapped. It's very difficult to make him learn to read. We're trying and he's not interested. Is it something that we should just put aside? Because my other daughter is trying too. For me, like, I've been trying for a while at some point, but it disturbs the relationship, mother and son relationship.
How old is he?
He's 26. He's 26. We want him to be able to have a better job, but he needs to read. And I don't know, like, he just seems to be uninterested or likes to have the attention of people that can do that for him.
Yeah, I think he's fully capable of learning how to read. I don't think that that your teaching him is going to work. What is the cause of his disability? I mean, was it a brain injury, or what's the cause of his disability?
To tell you the truth, I have adopted him. He was 5 years old. And one thing that really surprised me, when he got into the house here, he had a profound hatred for books. He would throw them away. He would rip them apart. He couldn't stand books at all. And I don't know if he has been abused, like somebody hitting him with a book or something like this. It's very strange.
Yeah, no, he has been abused. And so I would say something like a Kindle or something that you know, a game he can play on the television that's going to require him to read in order to do it would be a lot smarter. But sitting down and trying to make him read or teach him to read is going to be it's impossible. He has such a blockage for the element of books. That he won't learn to read there. However, I mean, he does know what a stop sign looks like, and he knows to stop, and he knows red lights and green lights. I think that he has the capacity to learn, but only on his terms and his own way. And you haven't hit that yet.
Okay, okay then. So I'll see what we can do. We'll just.
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
First of all, family is very important as far as support. So I would stop trying to be his teacher and tell your daughter to stop being the teacher, because you're his family. And it's more important that he have a secure family around him that loves him and accepts him no matter what than anything else. Does he have a girlfriend yet?
He has one that he's hopefully leaving, because she's twice his age. Has been married many times, not allowed to see her youngest children. So there's something very fishy about her. She was supposed to teach him to read, which never happened. And hopefully, like, this is one thing. Will he ever be able to find somebody that is at his level that he can be happy with?
I think he can. He'll find some. I don't really know what his level is, to be honest with you, because I don't feel that he is as limited as he's pretending to be.
This is how I feel, too. I don't want to ruin the relationship between us. This is always the problem.
And so he's staying where it's safe, I think, and my background is special education. I taught it for 25 years, and I have two master's degrees in it. My suspicion is that he has an emotional problem, and it's not as much a mental problem.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I could believe this very easily, because when he really wants to do something, he does it.
How is he with the computer?
Sometimes I will get a little email or something, like 4 or 5 words. He likes to... Show off that he has a laptop more than he likes to use it.
My feeling is that it's more of an emotional difficulty, and I think you should really consult with someone to see if they can help you dig into, you know, where the problem actually is. Does he live with you?
Not far from here. Like, he now lives on his own. Sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. He functions quite well. But he's been into psychiatric treatment for, I don't know, maybe 15 years. And to tell you the truth, not much has come out of this. The only thing is that, you always have to find the right person for that.
Right.
It's you know, the person might be a good person in their field, but if the chemistry is not good between the two people, it won't work.
Right. I think that he needs to have a male working with him, not a female, because the person who abused him was a female. So,
okay.
So that that if that's any help at all, I just really feel that he's. You know, please don't try to teach him, because he needs a mother and he needs a sister more than he needs a teacher.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I appreciate this very much, because it's kind of it's what I think also. Like it cannot be forced. It's there's a kind of time for this, and when it's when he's going to be ready emotionally, other things are going to come.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I appreciate this very, very much. Thank you.
You're
so much.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's see what Sonia has to say. Hi, Sonia. How are you doing today?
Hi. I am doing well. How are you?
I am fine, but it's cold here.
It's cold here as well.
Oh, my God. Where are you? You're in?
Atlanta.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I don't feel so bad. Every now and then, Jeannie and I speak every day, and every now and then, especially during the wintertime, she'll say, oh, it's only 65 degrees or 70 degrees here, and I call her a name.
It was 70 degrees, I think, on Tuesday, but today we're in the 30s. Yeah, it's like 35 maybe outside.
Ooh, so how can I help today?
I wanted to know about my father, if you could pick up or tell me anything about him. I didn't know him, and when I found out who he was, he had passed.
Oh, that's sad. How long ago did he pass?
About 10 years ago. I think June would make 10 years.
Now, did he know that you were around?
That's the thing, I don't know.
I'm getting here that he did not know you existed until after he passed away. And then he knew that there was a connection. So he has been around you a lot. And totally and absolutely amazed at how wonderful you are. And, deeply regretful that he never had the joy of getting to know you. So, he definitely is there around you. But your mother knew him. Well, she had to, clearly.
Yeah.
at least a little bit. She never told him. Is there some reason why she didn't do that?
I don't know. She's a liar. I don't know what to believe, that comes out of her mouth. I just don't know. I don't have a relationship with her. I don't know. I'm just trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together to kind of heal from this and move forward. I recently found out, I guess he passed 10 years, so I guess I found out about 9. I was a little over a year too late, maybe 8.5 years ago I found out.
Okay. Well, he did not know about you. Had he known about you, he would have been a part of your life. And when he passed over and he found out that he had missed out on what he had missed out on, he was devastated. He was totally devastated. I can't tell you why he wasn't informed, but I do know he wasn't. And now your mother's still here, isn't she?
She is.
Okay. She has her own agenda. I don't know what it is, but... I would like to say she felt she was protecting you, but I don't believe that that's the case. From what I can tell here, and you're asking me to read another person that hasn't asked me to, but from what I'm feeling here, she was afraid that he would take you away, and she wasn't going to lose you for whatever her reasons.
But why keep me when you treated me like trash? When she treated me, you know, like as if I made her life miserable. And I honestly can't stand her right to this day. She disgusts me. And that's kind of strong to say, and that's why I'm trying to heal and let all of this go, because it's not healthy for me. But she's like, she won't leave me alone. I block her on my phone. She constantly calls all day and all night.
Okay, well, you have to understand, she is emotionally disturbed. And I can tell you that the spirit inside of her is not like the personality that you're experiencing. And what's happening is she is angry and she doesn't understand love and she doesn't understand compassion and she doesn't understand the element of family. And so she is mentally disturbed and won't seek help and won't seek, you know, she won't seek out the help that she would be needed for her to have a healthy relationship with anyone. She's just angry. And people like that who really don't understand love aren't able to give those people that should get it from us the love that they deserve to get. There's no real, flat-out, absolute reason I can give you except that this is how she needed to behave this lifetime. And for some reason, because of past life experience, you needed to be there to be the brunt. But the reality here is that you don't deserve any of what was dealt to you. And the fact that you're still functional is amazing. And it talks of a great strength of character that you have. And it means that in relationships, you're going to be so loving and so giving that it's amazing. And your father is so grateful that you were not, you know, warped by your mother, that there is a loving, kind, caring person here instead of, you know, a victim that wants to get even with the world. So you've done an amazing job. And it's
been a struggle. I have to admit, it has been a struggle. It's been a battle for me. And I'm just taking it one day at a time. But it's like with her, she will not leave me alone. She just will not. I no longer can, you know, as a child, I had no choice. But as an adult, I have a choice not to deal with that. And she's just so negative. Nothing is ever positive. It's just always something.
Yeah, well, you know, they just don't understand. And I think they come into this lifetime with anger. And it's just something they need to work out. As a soul, as a spirit, we come into every lifetime, you know, asking for things that will teach us compassion and love and stuff like that. And this must be her lifetime to give out crap and let other people grow beyond what the crap is. And I would hope that this is she won't do another lifetime like this, but you've learned a lot from her, and you've learned that you know, love is sometimes not enough. That you know, she may have given you life, but that doesn't mean she has the right to take it away from you or to take the joy of life away from you. And you've realized that, and you've transcended it, and you can turn and walk away, and you're letting things roll off your back, and that's exactly what you were meant to live and to do. So you have to understand that there are people in this life that just don't understand love and giving and family. And it doesn't mean that inside is not a wonderful, loving spirit. It means that the personality sucks. So that you can, you know, namaste. Are you familiar with that term?
No, I'm not.
It's an Indian term, and it's a greeting, and it's a parting, and it's the soul and the spirit within me blesses the soul and the spirit within you. And, you know, the soul and the spirit are not a direct reflection of the personality, nor is the personality a direct reflection of what's inside. They're two very different levels of awareness and density. We all have perfect spirits inside of us. We aren't always reflective of that, but we all have it. So you can bless and honor the spirit within her. You don't have to like it. You don't have to like the personality. The spirit is beautiful. It's perfect. It's wonderful. It's like all spirits and all in everyone. They're all perfect. They just, that perfection doesn't always make it to the surface. And in your mother's case, I don't think it ever will. She's angry, and she's going to be angry probably forever. But on the other side, you have a father who adores you and absolutely adores you and is awed by how well you've lived your life in spite of what you were exposed to. And he stands here with tears coming down his face, that he is so proud of you, that he is so sorry he couldn't be a part of your life, but he wants you to know that he's always there.
Okay. Okay. He has a daughter that took it hard at first and didn't want anything to do with me. She's kind of been back and forth with the whole situation, and now she's trying to reach back out to me, and I'm a little scared, to be honest with you, to let her back in to my life because she's so back and forth. But she texted me and said that, you know, she loves me, and I may not believe this, but she wants to be in my life. She doesn't know how to be a sister. So if I could just be patient with her, I'm just scared. I don't know how to take her.
You know something?
So should I allow her to come back in my life after being back and forth and kind of, you know, just having me all over the place? It's just already hurtful that I'm dealing with his death.
Well, you know, I think that I think she's absolutely trying hard. And she doesn't know how to be a sister. She's a guy. She's never had one. So, you know, be patient. Just don't invest yourself. Don't over invest yourself in her. You know, give her time, give her patience, and stand back and just see how things go slowly. Don't suddenly say, okay, you know, I'm putting you in my will. But you know, spend some time with her. Get to know her like you would with any friend. Treat her as a friend and let her grow to be a sister.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking my call today. You've been very helpful.
You are so very welcome. You have a great problem there. It's not one that I've had come on the show before. So you
wow.
were going to be able to... I mean, everybody has something special. But you know, you enable other people to hear issues that maybe were in their lives that they didn't, you know, actually call in for. And the chat room seems to be resonating to it. So I do thank you for asking your question and hope that the answer helps you a little bit, because I think you've got the potential of having a friend. And, you know, start out with friendship. And you know, it, frankly, I have friends that I consider sisters, and a sister who is sometimes a friend. So... Just be careful how you invest yourself. It's really, really, really going to be good for you. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Take care now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. We've got Pat. Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Oh, happy to have connected with you. I'm in Connecticut. Are you in Connecticut?
I'm in Connecticut, yes.
Me too.
Where in Connecticut are you?
In New Haven.
Okay, I'm north of you. I'm in Middlebury.
Right, right. Actually, a friend of mine is going to or has recently seen you for the first time, which is really neat. And I'm wondering, do you know about Westwoods in Guilford as far as some rock formations?
No, I don't.
Okay, I'll email you about them.
Thank you. I would love that. Thank you.
My dog and I ran into some young, teenage boys, and they showed us some spots, which was really cool, very cool. And I was thinking of you, and I actually told them to look up your site because they're really into this stuff. So,
oh, fabulous.
Yeah, I'll send it off to you. I've spoken to you only once before, and you told me to put on a red thread on my wrist, and when I was done with my anger, it would fall off, which is a neat thing. I think of you often because it hasn't fallen off yet, so I see it a lot. But I have been working really hard for the past couple of years to really change myself, and I'm doing EMDR therapy. I started that in October with a great therapist, and just... had, well, I'm trying to uncover facts about sexual abuse, and just had a dream that this happened with my father, and that was confirmed. And I'd like to get as much information as I can. And as you were talking to the past reader about the woman, about sisters, I think I might like to ask questions regarding them, too, if that's possible.
Sure. Where do you want me to start?
I'm wondering, was there anyone else besides my father?
That abused you? Yes, at least one person.
At least one. And was it a family friend, or was it a father of a girlfriend of mine when I was young?
It was, from what I could see, and you got to understand, I'm going, you know.
It's okay.
It feels as though it was a friend of the family.
Okay, it makes sense, and I understand. Okay, thank you. And how many times was that?
I'm seeing at least three.
Okay. Can I ask if the name was Tracy?
Not getting an answer on that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, do you know the age?
Yours or theirs?
Mine.
I'm seeing four or five.
Okay. And is my father my biological father?
Is your mother still alive?
No.
Oh,
you didn't want to answer that. Okay.
Yeah. No, he's not.
He's not my father. Okay.
No.
Okay. Yeah, that was told to me some time ago. Now, I'm wondering if any of my sisters, but especially my sister that's only 16 months older than me, if anything happened to her. Like this?
Actually, no. I'm not getting that anything did happen to her. And have you spoken with her?
Yeah, there's two remaining sisters. I had three, and I've brought this up, and it drops like a, you know, dead weight. They don't want. They've always sort of kept me sort of boxed in a box, and I actually didn't think that anything happened to them because they.
No.
Fit in
no,
my...
and they have it's very hard for them to actually resonate or understand.
Absolutely, yep. They have a very different view of the family than I do.
Yeah,
it
feels as though I don't know why you were singled out, but you were, and it just feels as though it was something that happened to only you, and I'm not really sure why, because usually it happens to everybody, but it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be hard for you to get them to wrap their comprehension around the fact that you were abused.
No, I it became clear not to try, but I'm actually feeling like cutting myself off from them at this point pretty much, because I've tried to be there, and they're different. They don't feel interested. And I feel it's easy for them to box me in as the one that's crazy. Whenever they don't like what I have to say.
Well, but you are different.
Well, you know, it's tiring to be dismissed, and I'm thinking I should do this now as a positive thing for me, not out of anger.
I have mixed messages coming at me here. One of them is we are all one family anyhow, and that if that family that you're birthed into is not warm and comforting to you, it's absolutely appropriate to create your own extended family. I don't feel that you should cut them off. I think you should move beyond them.
Yeah.
I don't feel that you should slam a door. I don't think you should tell them I don't want to see you again. I think you should just move in other directions.
Okay, that feels right too. Thank you.
And you know, just severing ties and walking away and all of that, that would only mean that at another time you would have to go back and open those doors to tie up whatever loose ends are still there. And with time and distance, it will be easier to deal with all of this if you don't slam doors.
Thank you for that advice. That's important, valuable. My incredible inertia in the ability to discipline myself, this seems to be going on for so long, but lately I'm wondering, is it the therapy that I'm doing? I'm really wondering, am I going to get better? Am I going to be disciplined to paint, which I do, or just day by day, every day, discipline?
You've been in therapy for a very, very long time.
I've been with the majority of therapists that were not good or horrendous, where there was major, major negligence. And the last major thing was I was put through 28 sessions of ECT. And in hindsight, it should never have happened. So I really suffer now from memory lapse, and I don't know if that is the confusion that I have daily.
Okay, first of all, you know I am not a doctor, right?
Yes.
Okay, I want to make that real clear here.
Understand.
I'm not a doctor, but I am able to see different aspects of a person than a clinical physician would be, a clinician. My gut from these cards that I've thrown and from your voice energy is that it would be really wise to pull yourself out of therapy, and it would be even wiser to slowly, and I'm saying slowly under a doctor's care, if they have you on medication, to cut it back, if not out.
Okay.
Now and you don't say anything about medication, but if there is any, question deeply the purpose of it, and only under a doctor's care.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly remove yourself from it. My feeling is that you know, a lot of what you've been put through, you know, sometimes we can get so much therapy that we forget there's a life to live. You know, while looking for the meaning of life, we waste our life on looking for the meaning instead of experiencing what we're supposed to be doing. So you have an amazing mind here. There's a depth of intellect and wisdom that is profound. But with all with as many people fiddling with your insides as have been going on, you know, you've lost your own shadow, and it's you'll find it. And painting is a wonderful way for you to find your shadow and your that energy that is uniquely you. I think that as an artist of many different modalities here, it's not just painting, but writing is here as well.
Yes.
That you can use those modalities to open up and let flow the information that you need to wrap yourself around to have a full and rich and wonderful life, and that certainly is here and ahead for you. There's healing energy all over the place. You're fully capable of, you know, of opening up to the richness that is there for you. You haven't missed anything. You haven't lost anything. But it is a matter of you have so many. You no longer try to work things out yourself. You go to people who are supposed to help you figure it out, and then when that doesn't work out, you go to somebody else. And then you have to understand that the true master, the one that has all of the knowledge and all of the wisdom about you personally, is you. And that's where the answers will come from. So going to other people to have them help you unwrap these things, I mean, you're probably more qualified than half the therapists you've been to.
Yeah, it's true. What I'm doing now is EMDR. It's rapid eye movement.
Yeah.
And it's mainly to just change the thought process in the brain. Have you heard of it?
I have, and it's fascinating for someone who is totally stable.
Okay.
But I don't think you're there yet.
Uh-huh.
I would go away maybe 6 months of no therapy, no treatment, no nothing, just living your life and enjoying and allowing your own creativity to sort of bring through aspects of the past that you know, and I'm not talking this lifetime, I'm talking many lifetimes past, and then giving yourself a more stable foundation to work from. You're going one modality to another modality to another modality, and you're not giving yourself a chance to bring it in and to mix it up with your, you know, to make it a part of your own energetic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to be able to take things into to masticate them and to allow them to become a part of you before you step into the next level. And it's scary. you know, with I mean, all of the information you've got, all of the different therapies you've got, all of the, you know, it's amazing that you're able to talk.
Really?
Sure. I mean, with all of the, with all that you've been through, yeah.
Yeah.
You are
yeah.
amazing. And
yeah.
and I would just say give yourself a chance to sort of let the dust settle. And I'd take a break. I'd take a 6-month break and I'd go back to it in 6 months when you're more when you have things more clearly defined within your reality.
Mm.
You're not going to lose any time here. It's going to be a good thing because you write beautifully. Are you journaling?
No.
Well, you have a talent for writing.
I do, and I keep hearing literally the past few days I should write about my life, and I have never thought that that would be a good thing to do, so I don't know why I'm hearing that.
Well, because sometimes when you put it down on paper and you know, you say, this is what I went through, and this is how I survived it, not only survived, but grew from it,
mm-hmm.
That it helps to make it more clearly defined in your own reality.
Okay.
But don't do it if it's going to make you angry. You have to do it from a compassionate, objective place within
mm-hmm.
yourself. And until then, paint. Get out there and walk. Do whatever you need. You know, you need to kind of get the vitamin D, you know, coursing through you again, too. And
I do that.
Okay.
Then
yeah. do more.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think that you have a wonderfully vibrant energy here, and it's going to be amazing when you get it focused and really cranking.
I hope so. I really hope that happens. It's been a long road.
It has. But stop trying to cure yourself and allow yourself to heal.
Okay.
Okay.
I hadn't considered that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Okay, we've got... Sunny California. Hi, Sharon. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Barbara. Thank you for taking my call. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous.
It's been an interesting show, and I want to say namaste to all those ladies that have gone through so much in their lives to come to this point. They are amazing.
Oh, they are, and I don't think they realize how strong they are.
No, well, we're usually the last one to know about that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it is amazing when, you know, there's a very deep truth in, you know, God never sends you more than you can handle. And it's true. And, you know, there are times when you know, I stand back and I kind of look at the sky and say, what were you thinking? You know? This is ridiculous. How can you possibly think I can get through this? And yet you get through it. So it's all a phenomenal trip, and happily we seem to all be surviving it actually very nicely.
Indeed. But there is an incident that I'd like you to take a look at.
Sure.
One of my earliest memories of discomfort was when my sister and I ran away from home, and I was 6 years old and she was 4.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure what precipitated that, but I had to get us out of there.
Okay.
Could you give me an insight around that place?
You did go back, though, right?
Well, that's all I know. Yes, we can go back.
No, I mean, you went back home, though. You didn't. You ran away.
Yes. We were okay. chased back home by the paper boy, actually.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. It appears that it had nothing to do with your family. Were you thinking it had something to do with your family?
Yes, indeed.
I'm hearing a lot of yelling, and I think in some way you heard something that you shouldn't have, and it frightened you. On top of that, I think that there was spiritual intervention here, and that there were spirits that got you out of the house. And the fact that spirit energy was there moving you out of the house may have also frightened you instead of understanding that it was being done for your protection. And sometimes, you know, rather than trying to explain something, especially to children, spirits do scare them just so that they move fast. I think you were in danger, but I don't think it was directed at you.
Hmm. Yeah, it was like, I know it was in the morning because that's when the paper came.
Yeah.
Probably around daybreak, but okay. Because there was a lot of distress in the family, and my father had a lot of anger issues, so.
I think he maybe have been very close to doing damage to people he loved. And you know, you have to understand that people that have anger issues, it doesn't mean they don't love the people that are around them. It means that they have no control over how that anger lashes out.
Right.
But
I understand that.
Now, was at the time your father's mother in spirit?
No, she wasn't at that time.
Okay, because there's a grandmother that was here. It may have been a great-grandmother. Because what I'm seeing is that it was his side of the family, too, by the way. There was a spirit on his side of the family and, you know, you may not even be able, I'm sure you can remember to a degree part of what was going on, but a sense of fear and, you know, that fight energy that we get, the surge of adrenaline that, you know, that just kind of moves us to do things that we wouldn't naturally do normally.
Right.
I feel that within you especially, that was triggered, and you had to run. And you didn't really know what you were running from. And while what was going on in the house you were aware of and stuff like that, the spirits on the other side triggered that other energy within you so that you took off and you got out. And the moment passed. But I think it did save your life.
I just know that I kind of feel like that's been now the way I handle most things is to run away. So... which isn't really very effective.
Running away?
But I know I still feel the emotions, the feelings around that I was. It was like I was compelled to get my sister and I out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And why I left my brother, I don't know.
Well, she was safe. You know, Actually, the spirits on the other side really don't intervene as often as we would like to think they do. But it just feels as though you were little and, you know, you were easy to harm, to damage. And I don't think that you know, he would have done anything intentionally, but I do feel that there was possibly the danger that it would have happened unintentionally. And spirits just did what they needed to do. I mean, if a spirit had manifested in front of you and said, sweetheart, you have to get out, you would have just stood there and you would have frozen.
Okay.
Rather than triggering the adrenaline in you, so you got out and you didn't know why. It was more important you got out rather than knowing why.
Okay, so knowing why, I can release all that stuff. Hopefully.
Yeah. I would say absolutely. And as far as when you're faced with difficulties and problems, you know, you're a big girl now. You don't have to run. You can grow a backbone and you can really stand up to people and say, I don't think so. And,
it's not a physical running away anymore, but yeah.
Well, you know something, when we run away inside of ourselves and we slam that door inside, we might as well be putting miles between us and other people because when those doors slam inside and we're still physically present, we're not there anymore. So it's you know, what they put in your heart at that time was, it was terrifying panic. And now when it gets triggered, You don't stop to think about it, and you know, I would encourage you to do that when you know it's an emotional situation and you're about to slam that door. Remember that you don't have to slam it anymore, that you can be calm and quiet and ask people to explain exactly what they mean, that the same situation does not exist. There are a lot of years that have gone past here, and it's a learning thing, and you'll learn it, and you'll function much better within your reality because of it.
Thank you so much, Barbara. I love your insight.
You are so very welcome. And I think you have some very interesting things coming up here. So just remember, no slamming of doors. Doors don't slam anymore. If you mentally have to, you know, just make the doors smaller or half doors, that's what you can do. Every door within you that you feel like slamming, make it a French door and only slam the bottom half. That way you can lean over and talk. You know, I'll let you keep your door.
That's
just
great.
Half of it.
That's great. I love that. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye-bye. Namaste.
Bye-bye. Namaste to you, too. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okie doke. Now we've got Allison. Hi, Allison. How are you doing today?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello. Can you hear me okay? Sometimes my phone breaks. I'm going to switch rooms because sometimes my computer breaks up in a different room. I'm going to move on to this room.
Okay.
Oh, nice to talk to you. Happy New Year.
To you, too.
My question is employment.
Okay.
I'm not going to recount the difficulty of the last many months of no job. So, I just was wondering what you see around it. And in addition, I have a group job interview tomorrow. It's not a career position. It's very blue collar kind of menial labor.
Okay.
But it is a group interview, so you know it's. That's kind of to my disadvantage. I don't really care for group interviews very much. But that's how they're doing it. So I'd kind of like to see what you have to say around that, too.
Well, let's see here. It does feel that there's a new balance here in your life, and it does feel that you have Phoenix Rising energy around you, which is reborn out of the ashes of the old, so that there's a new you coming out here. A group interview, I think, would be good for you because you will stand out from the crowd. And by the time you get to March, there is greater commitment here. So are you currently, you said you were working now.
No, I haven't worked since October.
Okay.
And it's not for lack of, I mean, it's just been not been good, easy time at all.
Okay, well, you have work coming. There is definitely a job here for you.
You mean I'm sorry, you mean the one tomorrow that I'm interviewing for, or possibly something else?
I feel that it hasn't been determined yet. I feel that it could possibly be something else, but I know that by the end of February you have a job, and it feels like you have a commitment to it. So it feels as though it is definitely something that is going to be more to your liking. And if you get the group job interview, it's only for a short period of time, provide a stepping stone to something else.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. It's just, I don't know, it's just a temporary thing. Of course, I'm not going to tell them that, but, you know, and I hope to enjoy it if I get it. You know, I want to have a job that I actually will enjoy going to for a change, because that's
I really feel that this is something that you will enjoy, but only for a short time till you move to something else. So there is this wonderful new birthing effect that's going on here, and it does look like you're coming out of a tunnel here, and it feels as though you're really the tunnel is behind you. You're out in front of the tunnel. You're not going to go back to the tunnel, and it's it's an experience you never want to repeat again, and I don't think you will.
No.
And you won't. You will not repeat. The universe will throw something else your way to traumatize you, probably, but
no,
not that.
No, there will never be the kind of trauma I know that. I mean, you are spot on. I absolutely know that the absolute worst in terms of trauma is behind me. It will never be again.
Oh, no.
I know that in my whole being. So you're spot on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And for whatever reason that you went through this, you know, it's something that was important for your own evolution and development. It was important for you to tie up loose ends. It was important on you know, any number of different levels. But
yeah.
But once achieved, it's sort of like that was the final brick in place, and you can now you now have a great foundation. And I do feel that you'll be working very, very strongly on. You know, moving into a new venue, and it does feel like that. Now, it does feel as though there may be some classes or schools or schooling of some sort that's going to be connected to the things that are going to be coming your way. But I think, from what I can tell, you welcome it, and it challenges you intellectually and spiritually, and it gives you a sense of growing and learning and needing to grow further, and it's a very exciting growth thing for you. So by the time you get to June, there are definitely new beginnings and new jobs, and healing is taking place, and you know, you've just done an amazingly magnificent job of you know, steering your spirit through white water. And you did a great job. Now you don't want to get back in the boat, but you've reached the shore you were looking for, and I think that there's a sense here of you left a lot of your crap behind.
Yeah.
So that now you're moving into a more comfortable, easier time. Doesn't mean you won't work, doesn't mean you won't be challenged, but it will be a lot more joyful experience for you from now on.
You know, you mentioned, you're right on, by the way. You mentioned later, you know, February, another opportunity coming up later in the month. Do you see that could be, I'm trying to work with somebody named Nick, and he has his own business, and I'm wondering if Nick is ever going to, I'm just trying to arrange a meeting with him. It's not been easy. I'm wondering if you feel that might be the opportunity coming up later, if he will actually come through.
Nick is on Nick's journey, and
we all are.
and I don't really feel there's room in the boat for one more. So, I mean, a good person to know and a good person to have on your side. I don't feel partnership in business is the way you're going to go with him.
Well, I mean, partnership. I don't know what you mean by partnership. I just want to work with him. You know, even if it's part time, I just want to be. I want to work in his industry. I want to work with him in his industry. He has his own companies, and I could learn so much by working with him.
I have no problem with learning from him.
You know, working with him. Yeah, I mean, not learning from him like sitting down talking, but, you know, learning by working with him. That's what I mean.
Yeah, no, yeah. I have no problem with that at all.
Okay. I mean, you see that might happen, because he's a tough nut to crack. Just getting a hold of him is not easy.
Yeah, I do understand that, but it does feel here as though you have some very interesting directions you're going to be taking.
Yeah.
So be gentle with yourself and take it easy.
Yeah, I try. It's not easy when you're really desperate and you really need a job. It's very easy to, well, at least for me, to take very bad care of myself, because the stress is just consuming.
Absolutely. It is, and I totally can relate to exactly what you're talking about. I do understand what it's like, and the only thing I can say to you is that you're out of that tunnel. Things are looking so much better, and I think that you know, it's truly blue skies ahead for you. You just have to give yourself a chance to let the clouds dissipate and move forward. It may have been bad in the past, but that doesn't mean it will be in the future, and a vision board would be a really good idea for you.
I just did one about two weeks ago with a very lively group, so I do them regularly.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm already there. Well, thank you for that. For others who might be listening, I enjoy making them very, very much.
They work so beautifully, and they help you to really clarify what your goals are.
Exactly.
That's important.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you, Barbara. I'll let you take your other callers. It's a real pleasure speaking with you. You're spot on the reading today. So maybe in a month I can call you back and tell you, yay, I got a job. Or sooner,
yes.
Even sooner than that. That would be even better.
I would really rather if you called sooner and told me
yeah.
you got a job. That would be even better.
That's even better for both of us. All right, you have a wonderful day now.
You too. Bye-bye now. Okie dokie, we've got Donna. Hi, Donna. How are you doing today?
Oh, hi. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I have my sister Dee Dee visiting, and I wanted to introduce you to her and have a reading with you. So here she is, okay?
Okay.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Dee Dee. I'm fine. How can I help today?
I am in a major life change, and I'd like to know what you see for me career-wise.
Just career?
Well, every aspect of my life is changing. Career is the most important, so I can live off of it. But, yeah, every aspect. Just what do you pick up on?
Well, I from what I can see is you've been through what I would call an initiation process. And that's basically clearing your vision, giving you greater understanding of your reality, your world, your purpose, your direction. And that doesn't mean you know where you're going or how you're getting there. It just means that you have a deeper awareness of everything around you, much deeper than you did 6 months ago. I feel that what you got going on here is it's almost like you've been reborn.
Mm-hmm.
And you have access to all of the wisdom you've gathered so far, and yet there is a sense of a new beginning. It's almost like you've gone through Phoenix Rising, which is reborn out of the ashes of the old, and it does feel like you did crash and burn.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's a sense here of okay. Now you can redirect everything. You can renew your goals. You can, you know, find new directions. You just don't know where you're going, though.
You hit it dead on. Oh, yes, and that's where I am. I do feel reborn. I do, but I don't know where I'm going.
Well, that's a good thing. None of us really know where we're going. We get general directions from time to time, but if you knew where you were going, what would the point of the trip be?
That's true. And I am embracing it. I am embracing it.
Well, that's a good, you don't have any choice. So it's a good thing. It's a good idea that you do that. It's almost like, you have a fresh start here. You have a clean slate. It's like you've been in prison and you've come out and you've got a clean slate and you can just do anything you want to do. And my feeling here is that you don't have any idea what your passions are. And that would be what I would direct you towards discovering first, because when you know what your passions are in life, you know what kind of job you really want to put yourself into. You are not the kind of person, you're not the kind of energy that works well in a corporate structure. I would definitely not put you in a corporate structure of any kind. In the best of all possible worlds, I put you in charge of your own business, but I don't think that's smart right at the moment. You need to be weird. And all you know how to do is be traditional. And it's tough to be weird if you've never been weird before. And I don't mean terrible weird. I just mean outside the box. And you're caught in your box still. So because you're looking at traditional everything. You're trying to, you know, when you're looking at where do I go, what do? You're looking at traditional. And traditional is just not where you belong.
Yeah, I relate.
So I would say, you know, spend some time, sit down and really list those things that you really love to do, that you would do, you know, forever if you had the opportunity. And if you can't think of anything, then take lots of long walks and make yourself figure it out. Because most of us survive our lives. We don't live them. those people that live them have figured out what their passions are, the things they love to do, and they've incorporated that into what it is they do, and because of it they live longer lives, they have more fun, and it's, you know, they're fun to be around. And you have some wonderful things inside you. You're a very creative person, but you're not doing anything creative now. You've sort of put aside everything that is of a creative nature, and when you do that, you shut down those channels through which the spiritual energy can come and fuel your life and move it ahead. And so you're kind of hitting your head against a brick wall here. And you know, I got to say that if you could get back into some of the creative stuff that you did do. I mean, I'm seeing photographs. I'm seeing a lot of old photographs. I'm seeing writing. I'm seeing a sense of enjoying being creative, even if what your result is isn't, you know, marketable. And for the most part, being marketable is not what we're looking for. We're just looking for the fun of being creative.
Yeah, I relate to that. Everything you're saying.
And so you need to play. And the more you play, the more things will solidify for you. I have to tell you that you know, there's amazingly wonderful energy here, but it's been kept capped and held back for so long that, you know, sometimes you hold something in so long that even when you release it, it doesn't know it's been released and it forgets to expand. And I think that's where you are.
Yeah, I completely relate to your saying. What you're absolutely 100%. Can I ask you one quick little thing? Should I move to Santa Barbara?
Why? I mean,
because,
what would you move there for?
Because when I'm here and visiting, I feel mm-hmm. there is an energy here, and this is where my playful side, as you say, comes out, and I just feel up unique opportunities, and I feel like I can be weird here.
Okay, that's a good reason. I just, you know, I would not say move there because you don't like where it is you are. Where are you when you're not there?
I'm in Orange County, and
okay, so it's not a big move. It's a little move.
No. Oh, no, it's a little move. It's me just taking a leap of faith. I have no home. I rent a room. I have no home. My children are grown and gone, and I just, the energy here feels, like, playful and weird. Like you're saying, I feel like this is some place where that's where some of those things are going to be brought out in me.
Well, I would totally go for that. I think that you were probably, how old are you?
I'm 46.
Okay, so you were around in the 60s. 60s? No, you weren't. When were you born? What year?
66.
Okay, so you were just born when it was really cool. You're a gypsy. You've always been a gypsy. You always will be. And because of that, you've probably never fit in any place really well.
Right.
And so, yeah. Yes, you're right. You could be weird there. And I would be all for it if you agree to be weird. You know,
yeah.
You know, the thing is, you know what weird is. You're just afraid to do it.
Yes.
And, you know, I would start with cutting your hair. I would start with dyeing it a weird color. I would really go outside the box. I would allow yourself to be the canvas upon which the joy within is painted.
Very interesting, Barbara. Yeah. Yeah, I really, I do relate to what you're saying. I do.
Okay. So,
okay.
So become the hippie. I mean, get a job and support yourself. But,
right.
You know, but don't do it traditionally. Don't take it. You know, I would be fine even, to be honest with you, if you were selling burgers at Burger King, if you did it with flair.
That's exactly what I say. Coffee at a coffee shop. If I just be me, if I get to be me. So I do relate to what you're saying. I do. That's all I want to be right now is be me.
Well, and the only way you're going to figure out who that is by being outrageous. You know, and you'll know when you've gone too far, and you'll know when you've not gone far enough. But you have to start putting it out there. And I think you're going to do a great job. I really do, because by the time you get to the June, July timeframe, you're having a ball. And you know, some people will think you're crazy and other people will think you're terrific. And as far as I'm concerned, that means that you're perfect.
I love it. I'm embracing crazy. So, Barbara, I appreciate it. Here's Donna real quick. Thank you so, so much.
You're so welcome.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
I had to get my sister on because she just moved here with me. But I wanted to ask you, I also am not really in a direction, but, you know, the other day I had a spiritual awakening. I felt sacredness everywhere, and it was lovely. And I think that in that experience, I befriended my shadow in a way and incorporated the two, and I am just so happy. I don't know where I'm going or anything, but my gosh, and I think that's the bottom line, is to be happy with yourself. I mean, it's amazing.
I have so much sadness in my life,
and now it's like I've healed that sadness, and I feel happy.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, you feel sad, and suddenly you say, well, that's enough. I earned it, and it was sad for a while, but, you know, I think I've, you know, paid homage to it and expressed it enough. Let's get on with life. And it feels like that's what you did. You had an epiphany. And epiphanies are wonderful when we're flooded with light and we're reminded of the joyful spirit that we carry within, and we're reminded that enlightenment is lightening up, and that to evolve through a lifetime is celebration. It's not ritualistic, it's not somber, it's celebration. And sometimes we get caught up in, you know, people trying to make life and evolution a ritual experience, and the reality is it's not. It's a celebration. It's an absolute party of joy and light. And, you know, stay where you are because it's perfect. It's a great place to be.
Yeah, I'm just overwhelmed sometimes. I mean, I just can't believe this happiness. And I don't know where I'm going. I mean, I don't know. I don't know because, you know, I don't have a relationship. I don't have work, but, you know, something I have. Love of myself and everything. It's like,
well, that's a perfect time for the universe to look down and see, oh God, she's too content, let's screw it up and send something amazing to her, and they will.
Yeah, okay.
And you know, it's when we truly are content and happy and joyful that we attract our soulmates. So you're in a great place, enjoy it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, see what happens, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's an adventure and a great one. It really is.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Take care now.
Thank you, Barbara. You too.
Bye-bye. Okie doke. We've got Michaela. Hi, Michaela.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. I happen to have your deck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I recognized it, and then I went and Googled it, and I looked at my deck and said, oh, my, I have that deck. So I love it. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Things have been off for me when things are usually on. They've been off for me since, the beginning of January, around January 8th, until finally I'm sick the last couple of days. And I'm a very passionate, enthusiastic, positive person.
Uh-huh.
I'm very apathetic, and I don't care about anything, and I'm living in sloth all of a sudden. So I'm like, what in the world is going on? And I want to make sure that whatever energy I'm dealing with or processing or experiencing isn't going to interfere with the path that I was on.
No, I have to tell you that around the December timeframe, December into January, the total energetic of the universe and the world as we know it shifted and changed. And it screwed up everybody. It screwed up electronics. It screwed up Blog Talk Radio. It screwed up, I mean, I can't tell you how many energetic things it is screwed up. People are feeling a sense of vertigo. They're feeling a sense of questioning. They're debating whether they're on the right track or not, and it's been very confusing for everybody. So welcome to the club. And and it doesn't, it feels as though you're really being guided. It feels like there is spirit energy around you. You've got spirit energy that is definitely, you know, cheerleading you, supporting you, helping you to move in new directions. And it does feel as though it's a trip for you, but it does feel, you know, that there's a great deal of spirituality here and a great deal of creativity. I think that, you know, if we knew where we were going, you know, I said it earlier, there's no point to the trip. So, but I do feel that you are flowing, you're at a place where you're at a standstill for a short period of time, because you need to have that sense of stillness in order to let things, you know, sort of be incorporated into the totality of that which is you. I'm finding that there's a new foundation for you to grow from, to learn from. It feels as though you're moving in a very, very good direction, and it just feels as though this is a time for quiet, for you letting the leaves to settle, the ashes to settle, the whatever, and the dust to settle. And it's a time where you need to focus more on yourself. There's a sense of intense focusing on your energy and your direction, and don't take it horribly seriously, because there's no point to being horribly serious about this. And it's almost like you're learning to remember what you already knew but you forgot this lifetime. So there are going to be new directions that you go in. And it does feel like healing energy is here. It feels like there's intellectual expansion here on many different levels, and it looks spectacular for you. And it feels like there's even an inner restlessness as far as where you're living, that there's the potential for either radical change to where you're living or an absolute move.
Yeah, we're in Dallas right now, and we would like to move to Austin. But I'm also applying for a position as a trainer, which would fly me all over the country during the week.
Mm-hmm.
So we would love to go to Austin, and I would love to get this position. I would like both of those things to happen.
Well, it does feel as though there is new employment. There's the birth of a new aspect of career here. And so...
Would that be for me or my husband, do you know?
This is for you.
Oh, wonderful.
Because I threw these cards down for you. And it does feel as though it brings a new balance into your life, and there is a sense here of being embraced and surrounded by love. And I think that you do have, you know, some expansion coming here.
Good. I've been living in a nutshell for a very long time. Expansion sounds wonderful.
Well, you know, it's going to mean extra school. It's going to mean a lot of stuff here. So, but understand that it's going to mean work for you on new levels and new areas, and to put yourself in new venues. And I think you'll do that. I think that's going to be spectacular. But it's going to be... It's going to be interesting. I think you're going to be challenged in ways that you just can't, you know, haven't yet imagined or figured out. And
will,
you know,
I enjoy the challenge?
Well, it all depends on how you accept change. If you're okay with change, then absolutely, it'll be spectacular. If you are not really comfortable with change, then maybe not so much.
All right.
But, you know, I think that when change occurs in our life, it scares some of us. And the reality is that when change occurs in your life, it means you've outgrown the limits that were set for that particular aspect of your life, and it's time to move on into another aspect. It's time to, you know, change coming into your life means you've grown, you've expanded, and it's time to move on to new things. So it's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing.
Wonderful.
Change is spectacular. Even, you know, I know lots of people that cringe when I say change is coming, but change means you've grown and it's time to move into something that's bigger. I mean,
I wasn't a fan of the old show. I'm good with moving into a new one.
Okay. Okay, and, you know, the only thing I could equate it to would be clothes and shoes, and neither of those are something that we'd like. But the reality is, if something doesn't fit you, you need to move on. And if life as you know it doesn't fit you, you need to move on and expand your reality so that life fits and feels good.
Wonderful.
You're going to do fine. You're going to do just fine.
Do you think the move that you're seeing is me traveling for work or actually moving my home as well?
It looked as though it was your home as well. Not so much that you would be traveling, but that your home would be moved.
Okay.
Okay.
That's great. Thank you so much.
You're so very welcome. Take care now. Bye bye. Okay, I've gotten a question from Jeannie in the chat room, and she asked, would you say that humans having wings, would that not make them angels? I think everybody has to realize something, that angels don't have wings. It's how artists have depicted them, but angels don't have wings. They also don't have halos, and they don't carry harps. Angels in the other realm, in the other dimension, that when we cross over, we are not issued a pair of wings. And, you know, some get canary feathers and some get eagle feathers. You fly. You don't need wings to fly. As a spirit, you don't need wings to fly. The Bible describes death only once, and it says you work really hard, and then you die, and then you fly away. But you do not sprout wings in order to fly away. You just fly. And I guess here on the earth plane, when we think of flight, we assume that you need wings. But as an angelic, in the angelic realm, as a spirit, you do not have the same density that we have here on this planet. You literally fly. You lift up, you lift out, and you float. And you don't need wings. So the element, the aspect of wings purely has to do with artists who have painted creatures that supposedly flew and assuming that they would need wings. Look at spaceships. Now on liftoff they don't have wings, they have fins. Our things out in space don't have wings. They're merely floating. And that's what a spirit does. It floats. Cats don't have wings either, Jeannie. I'm really sorry. If somebody has seen a cat with wings, then if it's in a spiritual aspect, it's probably depicting to them a cat that has passed over, and you put little wings on them because they're now cat angels. But they don't need wings either. Wings are only for those people who are caught in the physical reality and assume that wings are necessary for flight. When spirits move fast, they don't have wings. They don't rustle. I'm really sorry, guys, but when I see spirits, they do not have wings. And it isn't that they aren't in the angelic realms, because they are. But angels don't. They have a different radiance. They emit a different kind of light. You can tell that they're in the angelic realm, usually because of the density of the figure that is before you. But I've never seen anybody with wings. I'm so sorry to tell you. But everybody sees according to their own level of awareness and their own perception. And if indeed you think that St. Michael should have a set of wings, then when you perceive St. Michael, you put wings on him. But it's your perception. I guarantee you that you don't go from this dimension into the bird realm. Of course, wings would be nice, but it doesn't happen that way. I'm so sorry. We've got Anna. Hi, Anna. How are you doing today?
Hi, how are you?
Okay, you're very far away. Are you on speakerphone?
Yes. No, I'm here. I'm here. Hi.
Okay.
Skype, thanks. Yes, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
And my question is, I like someone, but he's a waiter, and I'm not so sure if I want to, if he's doing only that or if he has more. He seems like a very sweet guy, so I don't want to be too judgmental about it, but I don't know if I can, if there's anything there.
Have you been on a date with him?
Not yet. We're just talking like right now.
Let me see. Well, as I think that who are, the person you're talking about now is a very nice person, and if you're talking about a loving relationship and stuff like that, if his occupation is throwing a red flag up, then you walk away. If that is going to get in the way of how you feel for him, if his occupation is going to in any way make, in your eyes, make them less than they are, then you walk away. That you're even considering, you know, his occupation and everything else says to me that I'd wait for the next person to come along, because he feels like, this person feels like a really very sweet person who's doing the best they can with life. And it just feels as though you're kind of putting the cart before the horse here, and that's not an appropriate way to go. But if it's, you know, if it's coming into your mind now, if you're saying he's only a waiter, maybe he has more, maybe he has greater aspirations in life. Well, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he just likes what he's doing and he's happy, and if he's happy at what he's doing, then he's in the right place.
Yes.
And it doesn't sound like that would be the best place for you. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's just what's on your menu, and it doesn't feel like this guy has what you want out of life. So I think that no matter what this person did, it wouldn't be enough for you. You'd want to be ambitious. You'd want them to go further. You'd want them to do more with their life, and that's not right. We don't go into a relationship expecting someone to be more than they actually are. And I would wait for the next candidate that comes along, because it feels like, you know, you won't be quite so judgmental there.
Okay.
Okay. I just, you know, I what can I tell you? I think he's happy. I think he likes what he's doing. And under those circumstances, you know, you just, if what he's doing is something that you feel is not worthy of you, then you need to move on and not hurt his feelings.
Well, I haven't been on a date with him yet. I don't know if he does anything else. I have to find out what he does first.
Okay. The fact that is something that you're thinking about basically says that no matter what he does, it won't be enough.
I've been a waiter too. I mean, it's nothing, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not where I stayed. Like, if he can, I don't know who he is at this time.
Okay, then it's fair. Then absolutely, you know, get to know him better.
I mean, done a lot of humble jobs. I mean, maybe not so humble for, I mean, I've walked with elderly, have assisted elderly, and those were not, you know, that wasn't my aspiration in life. So,
but it's a very good thing to do.
Yeah, and I will still do it if I have to, but it's just, I guess I want to know if he has what his plans are or something, you know?
Well, the only way you're going to find that out is by going out on a date with him.
Yeah. Thank you.
I I think he's got a very great energy. I really like his energy.
Me too. I this is a good one, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for calling. Okay. Hi, Lucy. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing? Whatever message you have for me, just let me know. Focus is mainly career. I get a static in the phone. Is that hello?
Yeah. Hi. It's your static, I think, not mine, because I don't hear it.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, but there's always archives if you miss some of the words here. I am seeing that you're going through a time of healing, and it feels to me as though the career is a place where I'm seeing some changes coming for you. I feel that where you are now currently is probably a place where you're going to grow in for a while, and it does feel as though in many ways the universe is sort of laughing at you. So I think you're having fun with growing and learning, and this is a place for you to learn, and this is a place for you to gather more knowledge. And I think that after probably the June time frame, you're going to find yourself moving into another venue and moving into another way of supporting yourself. And I do feel that there is massive change coming for you, but it's coming after the June time frame.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Okay, so it's successful.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that you've been in sort of limbo for a little while, and it does feel as though you're moving into a time in which there's going to be a lot more movement than you expect. Feels like you've got great abundance coming in this month, and then as you come into next month, there's a sense of using your intuition to expand yourself into greater healing aspects of life. And it's the April and the May timeframe where I see a lot of healing energy, as though you're letting go of a tremendous amount of stuff you've carried. Things from the past that no longer nurture you or apply to your reality, so that you're lightening your load so that you can sort of focus yourself in new directions. And I think there are amazing new directions for you.
Wow, it sounds very exciting.
It is, and you know, all of us have to go through some of those clearing out time frames from time to time in our life, and from what I'm seeing, springtime is your time to just let it go. The other thing that I keep hearing from Spirit is it's absolutely imperative for you you're in Florida, to walk barefoot on the ground a lot, to connect to the Earth Mother, to get yourself more in tune with the Earth energy. And there's an amazing book out there called Earthing, E-A-R-T-H-I-N-G.
Earthing, okay.
Earthing, that talks about how...
I never heard of that one.
It's a fabulous book. And what it does is it talks about how the Earth has an energy that is healing. And when we walk on the Earth in our bare feet, and our feet become synchronistic with the Earth energy, healings take place within us.
Oh, I hug a tree. Does that ground me?
No, you got to walk barefoot. Sorry.
Okay.
But it's walking barefoot on the ground that attaches you to that Earth energy, and it's really the book is really very fascinating, and it does talk about how the magnetic pull of the Earth energy does help to stabilize our bodies, especially in some of the emotional and especially the physical aspects. It does help us to, among other things, even balance our pH if we're barefoot enough on the bare ground. You know, and you know, if you were in Minnesota or Washington, I'm not sure what I would advise you to do, because they still have frozen earth.
Wear a lot of socks and shoes.
Yeah, no, you can't have the socks and shoes. That's the problem. So for those of us...
Well, that's interesting. That's very interesting that you say that. I have never heard of the book, but I will definitely go and read it. That sounds interesting. You don't see anything with my art?
Well, No, I'm not. Well, actually, usually I say to people, I don't see you doing anything creative, but I don't have that here. It does feel as though you are opening to your creativity and allowing the spiritual energy to flow through those channels, and you're using it in your life so that your artwork is an amazing way of helping you to heal, to grow, and to move life ahead. I would say that you're a very good artist, from what I can say, from what
yes.
I can see. And are you selling your art?
Yes, and actually I receive good recognition or positive recognition, and it seems to be going higher and higher. I've always been spiritual, and I understand that my art is just an expression, but the spirituality is going higher, and so is my art. I have really no complaint.
No, what happens with creative projects and creative works, those who are involved in a creative process of any sort, that opens more channels for the other side to sort of flow energy into our life and move our life along. And those people that feel like life is at a standstill usually are not doing anything creative in their life. You're doing a great deal. There's also poetry here, so.
Yes. I have been in the Library of Congress with my poems.
Oh, that's great.
Oh,
so,
thank you. That's good. Well, you know what? I wanted to see if you saw me moving.
I'm not seeing a move here.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Well, just because I don't see it doesn't mean
right.
that it might not happen.
Exactly, I understand.
Right at this moment in time, I'm not seeing a move. It feels like where you are right now is a very good place for you, and it feels like the energy of where you are is a very healing energy. So, I mean, you may want to be in a different place, but I'm not seeing where you are as being detrimental at all.
No, because I know I need to be close to water, but I thought maybe I was going to go to California.
No, I think you're in East Coast energy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think that the East Coast is where your spirit will be invigorated and inspired. I have no problem with you visiting California or the West Coast. I think it's a great place to visit, but when you need to recharge your energy and your batteries, you need to come back to the East Coast. Any place on the East Coast, by the way, so long as it's shoreline.
Exactly, by the water.
Yeah.
Where are you? Where are you in New York?
I'm in Connecticut.
Oh, that's nice too.
Yep, it's definitely.
It's very cold. That is great. And thank you for the recommendation about the book. I really appreciate it, you know.
Oh,
and,
you're so very
you
welcome.
You're pretty right on. So thank you. I've been told about my writing that I should write. I guess the spirit is saying write during this time frame. So you've just validated another information for me. That's all, which is great.
Well, you're so very welcome.
Thank you, and have a great evening. Thanks, Barbara.
I'm going to thank you. This has been fun. I'm so glad to see some of the people in the chat room. Kathy, I'm so glad that you came to visit, and Hazel as well. Thank you so very much. And Wildflower Wind and Mikey Hart and Bowtooth and Carrie Phillips, thank you guys. I think that a lot of shows don't always acknowledge the chat room. And I think that's a mistake. I think that people don't understand that it's your energy as you are talking amongst yourselves and debating whatever it is you're debating. Cats with wings, not so sure. But aside from that, I think that the chat room and the people that are waiting in the queue, they all add an energy that is profound. And for those of us that read, we take from the energy of the chat room, we take the energy from the queue, and we put it all within our own stuff, and then really good stuff comes out. But you have to understand, without the questions, that whether they be chat room or whether they be from the queue, without those questions, there is no show. And you are what inspire whatever words come out of my mouth to share with other people, and always the people that are in the queue are resonating questions that other people have as well, and that's probably why the show's archived so very, very well, because someone who has the courage to call in and ask the question is not only asking it simply for themselves, they're asking it for possibly hundreds, maybe thousands of other people. So I do thank those that call and sit in queue for so very long, and those that ask questions from the chat room that finally make it to me. And I hope I settled the wings problem, probably not. But, you know, we'll debate that forever and ever. But I do thank you, and I want to thank you for being such a phenomenal co-host. And even though she isn't feeling well, she always manages to show up and help out with the show. And I do so appreciate her, and I give her raises all the time. And she gets as much money out of this as I do. So we are very, very, very well paid. So thank you so much for coming, and we will see you next Friday. Take care now, everybody.